We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kid to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Hey everybody, welcome to the big show. It's the Strange
Bedfellows. Welcome to the big show.
Couple of guys here, couple swoon daddies over here.
That's Jack's new trademarked catchphrase.
Yeah.
Swoon daddies.
It's a couple of swoon. I'm a swoon daddy. We're Psy guys. A couple Psy guys over here.
Psy guys. I love that.
Yeah.
Opa Gangnam Style.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
what you mean by Psy, right?
That's not what I meant. I meant like sexual sighing.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Couple Psy guys. I think swoon daddies.
We try everything
legs
on the McDonald's menu.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to, yeah. Okay, yeah. Let's try guys.
We're the Psy guys, and we put on big fake bellies, yeah, and we pretend to be pregnant.
Perfect. Perfect. I think swoon daddies has it, just roll it around on your tongue a little bit.
Swoon daddies, you know why I love it.
Yeah, okay. Tell me.
It reminds me of some of my favorite bands from 1997.
Oh, all the daddy bands.
the daddy ska bands.
Yeah, Cherry Poppin'.
Swing revival bands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cherry Poppin', et cetera. The daddy bands, as
we're
we call
them. We're the swoon
it
daddies, and we wear the biggest, yellowest, yeah, suits.
We're the
you've
swinging
ever
swoon
seen
daddies, and it's the, and we're both bedfellows, and it's,
we look like the mask.
Before we get into our episode today, people are clamoring for a Beefcake update, aren't they?
I certainly am.
Yeah.
As you can tell by that.
Yeah. Big yawn that I,
extremely I big yawn.
Folks, listeners, you would be shocked at how many yawns I edit out of an episode.
This, we record so late at night. I'm so tired.
Let's get our beefcake update.
Beefcake baby update. Update. Where is he? Let's see him.
I think mommy's feeding him at the moment. But Beefcake's got a new thing.
Okay.
Here's what Beefcake. Beefcake's my baby, folks. For people who haven't been paying attention, I got a baby called Beefcake. He's a big beefy boy. And what Beefcake has this new thing that he does last couple days where he goes, "Daddy, daddy." I'm like, "What is it, Beefcake? I'm busy fucking trying to do the crossword puzzle."
Yeah, making content over here, kid.
"Daddy, daddy, I want to Natasha Bedingfield." It's like, what the fuck is that, Beefcake? And
he wants one of her, or
no,
he, like,
he wants
to
do
a...
he wants to do a Natasha Bedingfield. And a Natasha Bedingfield is when Beefcake takes all of his clothes off.
Yeah.
Everything, diaper and everything.
Releases his inhibitions.
And then lies down on the mat on the floor so he can feel the rain on his skin like Natasha Bedingfield. He's like, "Daddy, daddy, I want to feel the rain on my skin like Natasha Bedingfield. Dad, dad."
Yeah.
It's like, okay, Beefcake, fine. Okay, you know, you're my son, and if that's what you need, if you need to feel the rain on your skin like Natasha Bedingfield, who am I to deny you that? So I stopped doing the crossword puzzle.
Yeah, no one else can feel it for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Only you can let you in, Beefcake.
Yeah, I stopped doing my crossword puzzle. I take his fucking onesie off. I take his little diaper off, and I lie him down on the mat so he can feel the rain on his skin like Natasha Bedingfield. And then literally immediately, he just like does a big pee-pee up in the air all over himself.
That's the gimmick?
That's the gimmick. And then he's like, "Ha, ha, 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 now you got to clean this up."
Yeah, he's like, "Check it out."
"Check it out. Check it out."
The rest is still unwritten.
"Dad, dad, check it out."
That's pretty good. That's a good party trick.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny.
Everyone, I'm going to do a Natasha Bedingfield. Gather around.
Yeah.
if you're in the first two rows, you will get wet.
You will get wet. Yeah. Is that what a Natasha Bedingfield concert is like? I've never been. Yeah, I didn't think she meant it literally.
I would say yes, but I think that might be libel. And she is, she's hawkish. She likes to come
after she's
you.
Pretty litigious. Yeah. She's pretty litigious. Don't come after, don't get the bedding heads, the bedheads after you.
Yeah, you don't want the bedheads after
They
you.
Will come after you.
Who's her brother?
I don't know.
Her
man.
Brother's someone famous. Should I look it up? Wow, it's been a,
I
it's
wish
been
you
a long time.
Absolutely, I wish you would. Really. Don't need to know. I can't imagine I'm going to be interested to learn who Natasha Bedingfield is. You're going to be like, it's Bob Bedingfield. I'm like, that was worth it.
It's Daniel Bedingfield.
Okay, perfect. Okay, great. Thanks for that, Tanner. That was wonderful. Really enjoyed that. Absolutely worth it. Keeping it all in.
Now, I could have sworn he was a known quantity. And I'm looking through his discography and like awards now.
Okay, so we're still
talking. And I'm not
about
seeing
it.
Anything. No, I don't recognize any of these songs.
Perfect. Good. Leaving it in. This has been Dad. Unless you want to say anything about your baby boy.
Let's see. What do I want to say about Miles?
They get less interesting, don't they?
They get less interesting. He's pooping and peeing in the toilet overnight now, so he's a completely independent boy. I could slip off this mortal coil and he would be self-sufficient,
it'd be fine.
I think.
Much like this. That's foreboding for this movie.
I would haunt him and Jamie, obviously. Yeah. Let's talk about something real quick.
What can I say? Oh, about the boy?
No, just about the pivot. But do you have another boy update?
No, I just like to say this has been Dad Talk.
Dad Talk. It is Dad Talk. Yes. Sorry. Jack and I decided about 2 hours before we recorded tonight that the movie we were going to watch wasn't a romance. So we pivoted to another movie that's also not a romance.
Yeah, both selected by Tanner.
You selected the second one.
I think this is
this is more romantic than Magic Mike XXL, which is what we were going to watch. Although that would have been pretty fun to do.
Yeah, it's quite romantic, and I think that what it lacks in terms of like not hitting all of the paces of being a romance, it does more than make up for by having the pottery scene to the Elvis song.
Oh yeah. Well, and also. You see two different men get dragged to hell by shadow demons.
Shadow people, yeah.
And that's cool.
Yeah. That's very cool. Yeah.
You want that in your romance book.
You want that. That's been lacking. I've noticed the absence of it. It's conspicuous by its absence.
I've got like a big whiteboard behind me in my recording studio that says
you've never checked that
out. Shadow demons, and I just had to like scratch it out and write zero.
Yeah, exactly.
This wasn't a book, though. We watched a video novel.
We read a movie today, and it's we watched it on the TVDio and put it in our eyeballs, and it's a movie called Ghost.
Ghost!
It's a classic. It's Patrick
Dad,
Swayze
right?
and Demi Moore. Uh-oh. No, but it does, I think, exist in the Ghost Dad universe.
Wait, you watched Ghost Dad, right?
Oh, shit. No, I watched
because that's why I said it wasn't a romance. You were like the pottery scene. I was like, I don't remember the pottery scene. Do you mean the scene where his like, goes through the bus and his head goes
comes
into
up
the woman's
in the butt.
Vagina?
I think we only know that because it was in the trailer. I'm assuming that neither of us have seen Ghost Dad.
I don't think I have. No, I think.
But I'm going to confidently claim that Ghost is in the Ghost Dad universe because I think it has some of the same rules.
I think so too. The ghost rules. I also think it might share a universe with the Casper universe. Do you remember in like the late 90s they made like a live action Casper?
And was it a real boy in it?
Yes.
It wasn't an animated ghost?
Well, he was an animated boy. He was an animated ghost that turns into a real boy at the end.
Here's why I think it doesn't is that in the Ghostiverse, and I assume in the Ghost Dadiverse from what I remember of that one.
Oh no,
scene.
No, sorry. He turns into a real boy temporarily and then I think is sucked into heaven, much like...
So that part is the same, but what is different is that they look like people.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. To themselves.
To themselves and to everyone. Demi sees him at the end of this, and he looks like himself, because the light of heaven is cast upon him, and Demi sees
You're
him.
Saying Casper and his like evil brothers don't look like people?
I haven't seen it, but I'm assuming they're not... They don't.
Don't.
Okay, fine.
You're like speaking with authority. You're like, no, Casper definitely isn't part of the Ghostiverse.
I literally asked you prior to going on this tangent whether Casper looks like a real boy the whole time, and you said no.
Not the whole time?
So, okay, well then.
Sometimes.
Sometimes, look, we can get into what a verse it is. And I think we're going to have to talk about what's the difference between a ghost and an angel, aren't we?
We are going to have to talk about that. And also, like, what it takes to get into heaven.
What are the rules?
Why do some people get to go in and some people don't? Because
some people get clutched by the shadow creatures.
Ghost Patrick Swayze definitely compels a man to walk into traffic and kills him, but still gets to go to heaven at the end of the movie. But that's kind of a spoiler.
Yeah. Let me, Andy scares a man so much that he makes a big shard of glass fall into his.
He
scares two people so much in the space of 24 hours that they end up plummeting to their own deaths.
Yeah, and
he still gets to go to heaven.
Let me
run this theory by you, because I think we're gonna have to talk about the cosmology of Ghost a lot.
Okay.
Just off the top of my head here, what if the same thing happens to you no matter what, to everybody? But depending on how evil you are, you perceive it different. Like the light hurts if you're like you've got evil in your heart.
Okay,
and it feels like shadow monsters. It feels and seems.
I mean,
like
I think
shadow
we'd have
monsters.
To go back to the good book for this one.
What, the script?
The
Bible.
I meant the Bible.
Bible. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I guess so. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what the good book says about it.
Or we can go back to the script. What's the script based on? A film or a book?
I think the Bible.
Oh, it's based on the Bible, right?
I think so, yeah. Do you want to just Google Bible and shadow monsters and see what we come
Bible,
up with?
Perfect. Shadow monsters.
And just see, it's probably something in there, right?
Yeah. Shadow people. Here we go.
Okay, great. Hit me up.
Shadow beings and ghosts
chapter and verse.
According to the Bible.
Okay, perfect.
It's a Pinterest board. A Pinterest board that links to a YouTube video, which obviously we're not going to watch right now, right?
No,
right?
We're not.
Or
I hope not, I guess.
Should we? No, I can't. I'm not finding anything
substantial. Okay.
God, I'm so sorry.
Should we say the movie for folks?
We could.
I mean, why don't you say that you've never seen it before? Because that shocked me. I thought everyone had seen Ghost. I should say to the listeners now, Tanner is completely fucking gone. He's just gone. He's watching this whole video. He's just like, I can see his face, but there's no light in his eyes. He's just like absolutely fucking checked out. And you know what? I've said this before, and sometimes I think it's self-victim blaming and sometimes not. But I did this. You know, I did this. I said, hey, why don't you look this up? And then what did I think was going to happen?
What does the Bible say about...
Please stop, I guess.
Well, I think I'm finding something here.
Okay, what is it?
Well, I have to read.
Do you know, when I was editing the episodes that you and Jamie did together, I literally screamed out loud during the section where you were like, Jamie, what are you looking at? Pay attention.
Yeah.
Are you looking at Instagram?
Right?
You're like, it's so annoying.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. No, shadows are mentioned quite a lot in the Bible. Okay. Shadow demons that drag bad guys down to hell are not mentioned as often.
But they are in this film, and I do think we should say
We should talk about the film, huh?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think so. You'd never seen it. I was surprised. I saw it when it came out in theaters with my cousin, Pip.
I think I was six. It was right before my mom and stepdad got married, and Unchained Melody by... whomever does Unchained Melody was their wedding song, and then they got divorced.
Okay.
And when Jamie and I got married, Jamie's dad and
it's the Righteous Brothers
insisted that Jamie's dad insisted that we play it at our wedding, and we said, well, we can't because
it leads to divorce.
Yeah.
Did it play at their wedding because of Ghost?
I assume so. It was right around then.
I think probably it was the law in, like, 1991.
Right? Were we all sort of enchanted by Unchained Melody back then?
Yeah. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah. So I'd never seen it. I thought it was great. I thought it was way more action-packed than I expected it to be. All I knew about it was the clay pottery wheel scene.
That's fucking rules that you, like, you... This movie kicks ass,
man. It's essentially
I've seen it
an action
times.
Film. It's really good.
It's an action movie. All movies in the 90s kind
of
were.
And it's, like, ripped... It's really true to life, too. I, like, felt a lot
of
that.
Very
like,
true.
I'm often down here, just on the other side of my little podcasting curtain here is my Warhammer desk where I paint my Warhammer minifigurines.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll just be down here at 2 in the morning just painting these things, and I'll just feel, like, these warm hands sort of,
a
like...
A presence?
you know,
clutch around my waist
and like come and guide the brush, you know, and then
that's beautiful. Is it Jamie?
I know it, Jamie and I are just like the Citadel paints are like splashed everywhere. Just like she's just like, oh, the Warhammer stuff. Can't keep my hands off of you.
Do you want to do a quick version of your hit segment, which is called Welcome to My Red Room.
Yeah. Where was your red room today?
So Welcome to My Red Room is a segment we like to do where we say where we were during the sexy part.
Yeah.
I was, like many people who watched this movie in the 90s, during the pottery scene, I was burping my beefcake.
Yeah, yeah, hell yeah, man. Hell yeah, man.
Yeah.
That's cool.
The spit up king of Texas.
That's what they call you?
That's what they call my beefcake.
What did Beefcake think of the sensual scene?
Literally vomited.
Just from like excitement. Like yeah. I know you don't watch a lot of anime. But sort of a trope in anime is that when a male character sees like a hot female character or is sort of like sexually overwhelmed,
yeah.
Blood will spray out of their nose.
Okay. Yeah, similar thing. Yeah. Beefcake was kind of evacuated. let's say the book. Why don't you say it? Because you're a ghost virgin.
Oh, I am a ghost virgin in more ways
anymore.
Than one.
Yeah.
Or now I guess just one way.
Now in only the standard way.
The way many of us are.
Yeah.
All right. Here's what happens. Sam Wheat is a fancy pants banker.
I should say I feel like I don't want. I don't want folks to feel like this only happens to you. Sometimes when I'm doing my cryptic crossword puzzles,
yeah,
I'll feel some clammy hands around coming past my waist, and it's Sarah, and she puts her fingers on the keys,
yeah,
and you know, and fills in the Guardian cryptic crossword puzzle for me, and then you know, next thing we know, the laptop's all over the place, and. You know how it goes.
You know,
and
I think there's something about seeing someone just really like
do
excel
what they
in
like.
Their craft, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That just turns someone on.
Yeah.
I'll be out in the driveway, you know, and I see my neighbor Norman is in his 70s.
Yeah. He's like washing
his
like car.
Blowing, like doing the snow blower, and I'm just like, Jesus, that man can blow snow. And before I know it, like, I'm over there.
Next thing he knows. You got your arms.
Yeah. You just can't help yourself sometimes.
Waist.
Yeah. You know who we are right now? We're every like sketch comedy writer from 1990 to like 1993. That's us.
Good point. Good point. Yeah.
So yeah,
well, better late than
he's
never.
He's a big hotshot banker.
Yeah, he's I think an accountant maybe. Anyway, works at a bank.
He and his wife or girlfriend.
Girlfriend, but soon to be
Molly,
wife. They propose to each other.
Oh, he's Patrick
early
Swayze.
On in the film. He's Patrick Swayze.
Molly move into this loft in Soho. It's very chic.
It looks so nice. They must be so rich.
Yeah, I think maybe back in 1990, that was like moving to like
you could just get a loft
cheap
in Soho.
Heads Bay. Yeah. You know where it was like
yeah, I guess so.
Who's going to Soho
out in the boonies? Yeah. Soho, yeah.
Well, like the scene, the iconic scene where Patrick Swayze gets shot by Willie takes place on like the corner of Broadway and Prince Street, which is now like the Chanel store in Louis Vuitton and stuff. And back then it was like industry building. It like it looked like a crime alley. It's like Broadway. Anyway, they move into this big loft and it's beautiful and. Ultimately, I guess sort of a MacGuffin, although it becomes like a set piece later in the film for like a wild chase scene. At work, Patrick Swayze notices that there's some mixed up accounting. The books seem to be a little bit fixed. So he's trying to solve this issue.
Let's say what the beginning of the movie is first, because that I thought that's what you were going to say is MacGuffin, because it's something I'd never noticed before, but the opening montage of the film
Oh, yeah, it's like a haunted house.
Patrick's, it's like very creepy ghost music.
Well, and
like oh, we're
the
in
literal opening
movie.
Of the film is like it's a black screen and there's this like sort of like dreadful music like building, and then it just goes ghost.
Yeah,
like it shows you ghost really quickly and does like a orchestra hit.
Yeah, the opening is a montage with freaky music where Patrick Swayze and friend actor Tony Goldwyn
Carl.
Are shirtless with mallets.
Yes.
With like large hammers.
Yeah.
And Demi Moore is kind of there.
She
too.
Also has a hammer.
And they're.
And she's wearing a shirt.
Just like smashing things like a porn. It's like a porn shoot or like a.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Like a sexy music video, I guess. It's a sexy music video.
They're moving in and they. I think like they know that we know that Patrick Swayze is going to die. Like we've obviously seen the marketing materials. We know the movie's called Ghost. So they keep doing this thing where like. While they're moving in, they're like hoisting this big angel statue up into the loft, and Patrick Swayze, like, no one can figure out how to get it. And Patrick Swayze, like, swings out and kicks it, and it comes back into
kinda
the
rules.
House, and he grabs it.
Yeah.
Which ultimately is the thing that kills Carl later in the movie. But you think he's going to die. Yeah. And then later, he and Carl are at the bank going up the elevator, and you're like, well, I've seen Ghost Dad. I know how Ghost Dad dies in Ghost Dad.
I know how Ghost Dad goes.
He dies in an elevator. This is clearly like a. Yeah. A little bit of an homage to Ghost Dad.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
Okay, so that's that. What's happening with the accounts?
The accounts. He's noticed that there's some discrepancies. He's trying to fix it.
And then Patrick Swayze proposes to Demi Moore after they do pottery. And
they do
it's important
pottery.
To dwell on the pottery.
Yeah.
They do sexy pottery, and it's iconic. It's fucking iconic.
Yeah.
It's like, there's not that much of it. Sarah missed the first, like, 20 minutes of the movie and while I was watching it today and, like, came back home from the library and was like, oh, did I miss the sexy pottery scene? And I was like, yeah, but it was, like, it was just, like, a minute and it's, like, early on in the film.
You know what else? I could have, I didn't see this movie. I didn't know anything about this movie. If you would have asked me before I saw it, I would have told you that he was a ghost in that scene.
That's what I said, actually. I was like, yeah, we saw it, but I think maybe they do it again later.
When he's a ghost, right?
When he's a ghost. But then I was like, in my mind, I was like, if that happens, then the only way that that can happen is if it's actually Whoopi Goldberg.
Well, we'll get into that later.
We'll get into that. But they do sexy pottery, and then they propose to each other, and then he gets...
they go see Macbeth.
Bruce Wayne's parents... in an alley.
Yeah, he does get Bruce Wayne parents in an alley.
They go see Macbeth, and I wonder if that's foreshadowing. Do you think this film exists in the Macbethiverse?
Well, what are the rules for ghosts in Macbeth?
Three witches.
There's no witches in this. Well, wait, unless you count Whoopi Goldberg and the and her two assistants.
Right, that's three potential witches. And we also have... I actually seriously think this might be in the Macbethiverse. Because it's like, if you think about... Carl, the villain, as being Macbeth, and you think about Patrick Swayze as being Duncan
Idaho,
not Duncan
Dune.
No, not Duncan. Banquo.
The last time I saw Macbeth, it was Sleep No More, and I couldn't follow it.
Okay, well, Macbeth kills a bunch of his friends. One of them's Duncan. One of them's Banquo. Okay. Banquo comes back as a fucking ghost,
right? To be or not,
and
to be.
He says. Wait, no. Macduff says all my pretty chickens in their dam in one fell swoop. That's Macduff. Don't worry about Macduff.
I won't. It's a MacDuffin.
It's a MacDuffin. I was trying not to say it, and then you said it, and I realized one had to. But then, so I do think this is Macbeth adjacent.
Yeah, and they hinted that.
Yeah, so they go see Macbeth early on, and I think that Patrick Swayze is Banquo, and. Carl is Macbeth.
Well, just like how there are no accidents in the crime alley where Batman's parents get shot, Bruce Wayne's parents get shot.
Yeah.
And depending on who you ask, it was either like Joker or like the Court of Owls or whomever. This was no coincidence either, because it turns out Patrick Swayze ghost follows this man called Willie.
His name is Willie. He ghost follows him, and we've vowed not to talk about this, but it's hard
not to.
Right? To literally, fucking literally, my old apartment in New York.
He follows him into the like worst, most like post-apocalyptic neighborhood in all of Brooklyn. Obviously, like There's like flaming couches on the street. Everything is covered in like dirt and oil. Like everyone's just shooting guns at one
another.
Everyone's
got like switchblades and
it's literally
heroin needles
right across the street.
It is
from where Jack
literally
used
they
to
give
live.
The address
and like and around the block like... from where I used to live. Now there's a cool taco place there.
I guess we've triangulated in the end, didn't we?
Well, we don't live there anymore.
Just watch Ghosts and you can know where we
used to
live.
Yeah, we
used to live
by the shuttle train in Brooklyn.
So he follows him and realizes that something is amiss.
Yeah, because he gets on the phone and he's like,
guy
I didn't
gets on
do
the phone
it.
And he's like,
I couldn't
hey,
find it. Or whatever.
Yeah, so it wasn't just a.
It was murder most foul.
Mugging gone. It was murder most foul. It was murder most foul. Yeah.
So now he knows that and he needs to communicate that to Demi Moore, obviously.
Did we say that he became a ghost? I think we forgot.
I said he ghost followed him. I think one only does
he
that.
He becomes a ghost.
I guess one
he
can
dies
ghost
and he's ride like,
the
what's
whip it? And not be a ghost. Yeah. So I should have been more explicit.
He becomes a ghost. And he realizes he's a ghost.
And then he goes into Whoopi Goldberg's like,
studio.
Home reading.
Whoopi Goldberg is a fake medium.
Yeah. Except she's not. She's got the gift. She got
well,
the
she thinks she's a fake medium. She thinks she's a fake medium.
And it takes this is but also then, takes place in the Shining universe. Right? Don't you think?
Do I think this takes place in the Shining verse? I'm actually intimately familiar with the rules of the Shining verse, and no.
Why not?
Because, like, the Shining, like, the creatures who try to get you in the Shining are very specifically, like, a type of thing that's not addressed in this film.
They're ghosts.
They're, like, they're not ghosts.
Okay, fine.
There are ghosts in The Shining, but there's, like, a whole world of people who, like, prey on and, like, drink the juice of people who have The Shining.
Right.
And
yes. Yes. Okay. Fine. Yes.
Yeah.
You've read all those books, haven't you? Those
yeah.
Dr. Sleep books and stuff, right?
Yeah. So I know my shit on The Shining. But Whoopi Goldberg is so good in this.
She is really good in this.
She's
very
so
funny.
She's so fucking
her name
funny
is
and good.
Uta May.
And it's funny because she's been like Whoopi Goldberg on The View for so long and like whatever. I just don't watch it, I guess. But I like she's just kind of like a ubiquitous presence. But God damn it. Whoopi Goldberg, what a fucking talent. What a comedy talent.
Yeah, she was so funny.
She just like kills it. She makes the movie. She's so good at it.
Would you stop rambling?
I don't think I'm rambling. I'm just answering a question. He's got an attitude now.
I don't have an attitude.
Yes, you do have an attitude. We had a little discussion. If you didn't have an attitude, you would not have raised your voice to me now, would you?
God damn it.
Don't you,
I did
God damn it,
raise.
Me. Don't you take the Lord's name in vain with me. You understand? I don't take
Will
that.
You relax.
Man. No, you relax. You're the dead guy. You want me to help you? You better apologize. Because
oh,
I don't
Jesus
take that from
Christ.
The guy. That's it. I'm leaving. I'm leaving. Nobody talks to me like that. You understand me? Now you better apologize.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Okay?
He's apologized.
I need you to tell Molly what I'm saying, but you have to tell her word for word, all right? Word for word.
Yes. He wants me to tell you what he's saying word for word.
Molly, you're in danger.
Now, you can't just blurt it out like that and quit moving around, will you? Because you're starting to make me dizzy. I'll just tell her in my own way. Molly, you in danger, girl.
What are you talking about?
I know the man who killed me.
He knows the man who killed.
His name is Willie Lopez, and I know where he lives.
His name is Willie Lopez. He's Puerto Rican. He knows where he lives.
Write it down.
He wants you to write it down.
You write it down.
I ain't no damn secretary.
Just do it.
He's so testy.
And Patrick Swayze makes her go and talk to Demi Moore, and they figure out that it's actually his partner at work, Carl, who's been laundering money, who hired Willie
and Carl
to
is like
rob him.
His best friend and partner at work, and he's also like now trying to like become Demi Moore's boy.
Yeah, and he's in deep. I think he's like into drugs.
He's in trouble with drug dealers, which is a very 90s thing. They don't even specify. We don't even meet the drug dealers. He's just like, oh, I'll get it to you, drug dealer.
Right.
I'll get you the money.
I've never been in trouble with my drug dealers because... Well, they just work out of a dispensary in Massachusetts, and they're all very nice people. You know what I mean?
That's nice.
And then they uncover the plot, and Patrick Swayze and Uta May have this...
That's Whoopi's character.
...farcical romp through the bank where they're trying to get all the money out of the bank.
Yeah, it's fun.
And then for the last like half an hour of the movie, it's just like Die Hard. It's like action scenes.
It rules.
And you see two different people getting dragged down to hell. And there's a guy called Subway Ghost. He's my favorite.
He's awesome.
He rides the subways.
Patrick Swayze has to learn how to like touch things in the corporeal.
Yeah, there's like a
world,
training like montage.
Cool subway goes. Yeah,
where this guy like teaches him how to
what
kick
a great
cans.
Movie.
You ain't got a body no more, son. It's all up here now. You want to move something, you got to move it with your mind. You got to focus. You hear what I'm saying? How? How do you focus? I don't know how you focus. You just focus.
What a fun movie. Folks, if you haven't seen Ghost, watch Ghost.
God, it makes me want to be a ghost.
Yeah.
Imagine how fun that would be.
Yeah, if you're a good person. So the cosmology of this movie is if you're a good person, only certain types of people become ghosts, and it's people who like have unfinished business.
Well, no, I think
and don't go to the light.
Yeah, that's the thing. Patrick Swayze is offered the light after he is shot on the street, and he turns away from it.
He turns away because he has unfinished business. He's worried about his fiance. Yep. But then there's two types of dead people. Types of dead people who see the light and go to the light, and types of dead people who see the shadow creatures who sound like a cat barfing.
They do sound a little like a cat barfing, and sometimes they're just big blobs, and sometimes they're like skeletons.
Yeah, they're kind of scary. They're like less scary now than they were then
in 1990. Yeah. I'm sure that blew your little mind in 1990.
Yeah, fucking.
How did
I was
real
what
for this
10, and went and saw that in theaters. God, that was memorable. Very memorable.
How about 13 Ghosts? Is that part of the Ghostiverse?
I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay. Well, how should I describe it to you for you to know whether or not it is? Do you have the cosmology? Do you have the rules figured out for the Ghostiverse?
Here's what I know about the Ghostiverse. The rules are as follows. You look like people.
Yes, that's true in 13 Ghosts.
You
well, you look like you look like when you were killed.
You look like you look like when you were killed. You're there because you have unfinished business.
True.
And good people go to the light, bad people go to the shadow people.
I can't remember if that's true or not. So let's say plausible
and
on that one.
Only certain people can see you. Most people can't see you. And you can't really affect the corporeal
world. Well, they use special goggles in 13 Ghosts to see the ghosts.
Oh. Same with Spectral.
Yeah. And Spectral.
Yeah.
Can we talk about this movie real quick, Jack?
Yes.
I know we have
briefly,
been, but
yes.
I think we need to talk about it on a different level because you and I have this blindness, and I guess it's kind of the premise of the show, so you can't really get mad at us for this.
Yeah.
But we don't really know what a romance book or movie is.
No, we can't.
We try.
We can't seem to. Yeah, we try. Yeah.
I made it 40 minutes into Magic Mike XXL this week and was like, oh, this is six men hanging out in a RV.
And a couple of weeks ago, we read a porno.
We just read a porno, yeah. Rescuing Roxy. I went through I was like, we can't watch Magic Mike XXL. It's not going to work. So I just went through the Apple iMovie like romance genre and fed you some answers, and you gave me Ghost.
Yeah.
You said, let's do Ghost. Yeah. So we did Ghost, but it's not necessarily, I would like to figure out whether or not it is a romance.
Is a romance. Yeah.
Story. Book.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Video novel.
Well, let's lay out some architecture.
I can do that
what we
because
think romance is.
I actually, before we got on, managed to get a little bit of time with the former reviewer of the romance genre at the New York Times.
Wow, David Brooks.
No, the other one.
Okay. Maureen Dowd?
No. Her name is blanking me right now.
Okay.
But it's a new segment called Is This a Romance?
Yes. Good.
And here are the criteria that we need to judge this film by. And all of everything we experience on this podcast. Mm-hmm. One, central arc of the story is about a romance.
Mm-hmm.
This one's so tricky because I think what you have to do is you'd have to do like a minute by minute breakdown, wouldn't you?
I think the central arc of this story, it is really about their love.
But it's also really
like,
about like a
if
bank
you were
heist.
Like, if you were like walking in like on Prince Street and Broadway, and all of a sudden out of the shadows a scary man came out and put a gun to your head and said, tell me what Ghost is about and I'll let you live. Would you say it's a romance between two lovers?
I think that's exactly what happened to the people at iTunes Movies.
Yeah, that must have
been. That's how they do it. That's how they assign genres at iTunes.
Or would you say it's about a guy who becomes a ghost?
I would say it's about a money laundering operation that's foiled by a ghost.
Foiled
and his
by
psychic
a ghost.
Friend.
Yeah, that is the best. That's the one sentence description of this movie: a money laundering operation that is foiled by a ghost and his friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
And there's like a little bit of like a side romance story, you know, for the ladies.
And pottery. But, okay, so no, it's not.
I don't think
that's
so,
not,
right?
Yeah.
It's in there, but it's not. But, you know, whatever. One out of four. If we can get the other three, I think we're still in smooth sailing.
Okay.
A problem keeps the protagonist apart. Yes.
Ghost. Dead.
He's a ghost.
Dead. He died. Okay, yeah. So
and he needs to, he can
on
only speak
one.
To her through Whoopi Goldberg.
Through sometimes he can go inside Whoopi Goldberg and speak through
but it really
her.
Tuckers
and
him
there's,
out.
There's a fun scene later in the novel where like they're like Whoopi's like, hey, use my body.
Yeah. He's like, I wish I could touch her one more time, and Whoopi's like, hop on in, bud.
If anything, if I could just touch you once more.
Okay. Look. You can use me.
Use you.
And use my body.
Use your body.
Just do it quick before I change my mind.
And we had seen it before in a funny scene, and we get to see Whoopi Goldberg. We get to see it how it actually is.
Yeah.
But in the movie, we see it as Patrick Swayze.
Yeah. And for some reason, but it happens.
You're still in the back of your head. Like, you're like, Whoopi Goldberg is now caressing
Yeah, Demi well,
Moore's
we'll get
cheek.
To that.
Yeah, we'll get to it. We'll get to it.
Oh, and something that keeps happening in this movie.
Yeah.
That is that Demi Moore keeps not believing Whoopi Goldberg, and Whoopi Goldberg keeps having to, like, reveal details of Demi Moore's life.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah. It happens, I think, three times. Like, there's just no convincing her.
Yeah.
Number three.
Yeah.
So we're good. We're one for two. That's not bad.
Yeah.
The people involved end up together either happily ever after or happily for now.
Say it again.
The people involved, the two, the loves, the love interests of the film, end up together at the end of the film.
Yeah.
Either happily ever after or happily for now.
No.
Well, let's talk about this now.
No.
Because...
Well... He does say see you
yeah,
later.
Yeah, right? Presumably, she's going to lead a good life and they're going to find one another in heaven.
I think that's neither here nor there. Like, I think it is implied that they will find one another in heaven. But I think that where this is left is that they are painfully separated with the promise of a potential future reconnection.
Why did you even go back to the light then? Why didn't you just stay down here?
I think it's like hard to resist it.
I could resist it. I'm pretty lazy.
Okay, you would? I mean, that guy on the subway does.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe that's why he's down in the subway, hiding from
And there's
God.
Another guy that Patrick Swayze meets at the beginning in the hospital.
Oh, yeah, he's just been like, waiting his whole life for his wife.
The first ghost he meets, and he's like, I'm waiting for my wife.
It's very sweet.
So, what happened to you?
What?
You're new, huh? I can tell.
Are you talking to me?
Hey, relax. It ain't like before, you know. It's a whole new ball of wax.
Who are you?
Oh, I'm waiting for my wife. She's in 4C, cardiac wing. She's fighting it.
He's like, let me show you the ropes. I'm just waiting for my wife
to
die.
Yeah, let me show you all
there.
These people. This guy's going to die. He's funny.
He is funny.
So, no to that.
Okay.
And then we've
now
got one more, right?
Stings a little bit.
Oh, does it?
Well, I mean, we're one for three.
We're one for three. Yeah,
the last one is a little unofficial, but Jamie insists that it's true of all romance books.
Okay.
No children or pets come to any harm.
Okay, well, that's true of, like, Mein Kampf.
Yeah, well, Mein Kampf is one for four on the romance scale.
I just think that's, like, a little bit too broad, you know?
I don't know. You know what? That disqualifies that Grimm's Space book we read.
Yeah.
It's like a little Zeg or whatever got shot.
Yeah, and what about the book that we read by Tessa Dare, where they kill a horse.
Yeah, Star Wars
I
is
think
out.
Jamie,
they killed that Tauntaun.
Look, I respect the hell
and
out of
those younglings.
I think this one doesn't work. Yeah. This one can't. This it ain't
well,
it.
Well, we're keeping it in for now because I think it's the only thing that's going to keep this right on the edge. I mean, we're two for four.
Okay.
You know, like that's a failing grade. Not to mention there's like a shootout at the end of this movie.
Yeah.
So I don't know. This feels honestly like
it feels like it's not a romance.
If you took the romance out of this, it would feel more like Die Hard than anything else.
It is a very romantic movie. It's not a romance. We must take a break.
Okay, let's go take a break.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. It's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Okay, I think we've said the movie and we've said whether it's a romance or not.
Yeah.
So I want you to engage in a little thought experiment with me that we've done, I think, in the past for some of the romance books we've read, which tend to exist in a like part one of like Scoundrels and Liars.
Yes, right. Yes.
Where it's a segment, I guess, that we have previously called Let's Guess What Happens in the Sequels. But in this case, we know that there isn't a sequel to Ghost, though there may be.
Well, there's a lot of spiritual sequels.
I think we could
name several of them. Ghost Dad, Casper.
It's high time that we had a Ghost sequel.
Okay, perfect.
So what I'm asking of you now is we just take a few minutes for the people who have been clamoring for this to figure out, I guess they didn't have the budget, but figure out how we do Ghost 2.
Right, okay.
Let me just throw one out at you just off the bat while you're thinking that just occurred to me. What's the sequel to Alien?
Aliens.
What about Ghosts?
Ghosts.
Ghosts. And
yes.
It's a lot of them. There's too
That's
many.
That's pretty good.
There's too many.
Too many.
There's too many.
To kind of like
it's all
back.
Of Demi Moore's boyfriends. It's all of her boyfriends. And they all
that's
die.
Cute. It's like a Scott Pilgrim thing.
Yeah. And they're all
now,
in it.
Now let me ask you a question.
Okay, yeah.
What's the sequel to Look Who's Talking called?
Look Who's Talking 2 with T-O-O. Okay,
ghost
so Ghost
2.
2. And it's a baby?
And it's baby ghost.
That would definitely violate Jamie's rule.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
it's
yeah,
Casper.
Right. Dang. That is Casper. Yeah,
yeah.
You're right.
That's we've Casper.
We've just pitched Casper. And you just pitched, I think you were pitching Spectral there by accident.
Okay, well, what's the sequel to Three Men and a Baby?
I don't think there was one.
Three Men and a Little Lady.
Well, is that a real thing?
Yeah. Ghost and a Little Lady? That's kind of the
Ghost
same thing.
Ghost and a Little Lady? Yeah, that's also Casper. Man, there's no, like, whatever. Leo Tolstoy.
Yeah.
Only three stories have ever been told.
Okay, yeah. What and so, what are they? Ghost?
Girl and the ghost baby.
So this actually gets me into that thing I've been thinking about, which is what's the difference between ghosts and angels, is it just wings?
Okay, and then this now is City of Angels tied up in all of this.
Is,
oh God, we should watch that.
Ghost Rider tied up in all of this.
Oh, right.
Is Drive Angry?
Drive Angry 3D tied up in all of this. This narrative, you know, it's like Stephen King, yeah. You know, like the webs that
but
are being
so
woven.
If we did a sequel with the characters that we have, we'd have to have Patrick Swayze come back from heaven. So then he's he would be an angel.
Okay,
type
this
ghost.
Is great because there's actually there's already a format for this.
Yeah,
and it's Spawn. Because Spawn dies and goes to hell, and then Satan is like, well, I actually need you to go back up to Earth and be my, like, Avenger.
And that's the same plot as Drive Angry, isn't it?
Yes. Except, so this would be...
Drive Angry is a Nicolas Cage movie that Tanner and I watched together and fucking loved, and maybe no one else
We watched it in the middle of the workday.
Yeah.
And
it was very memorably fun.
Got
so drunk.
Shit-faced. Yeah. We bought a handle of whiskey and just mixed it with the Coke we bought at the thing and then just shared the Coke like a couple of like teen boppers from the 50s.
It was a rare occasion where everyone else who was watching the movie was like really into our antics.
Yeah.
They were like, this is why I came to Drive Angry in the middle of the day, is to see these two dudes fucking shouting shit at Nicolas Cage.
Having
a blast. Yeah.
It was also one of those 4D theaters where the seats move and they spray shit at you and stuff.
What a memorable movie. But the premise is that he goes to hell and comes back, I think. And drives.
So this is Patrick Swayze goes to heaven, and God is like,
but he's got to come
back on Earth.
Or Demi,
you're my, like,
Demi needs
soldier
him.
Of glory.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
And he gives him probably a big flaming sword, like he gave Adam.
Yeah. Okay.
He gave Adam a big glowing sword.
Maybe Gabriel.
Gabriel.
Yeah.
And sends him back.
Yeah.
So now, this is just like Aliens, right?
Yeah.
I haven't seen Aliens in a while, but isn't it Ripley goes back to like fight aliens?
Yeah, not specifically.
But she does do that.
She's like, guys, I know what the problem is.
It's aliens.
It's aliens. And they're like, what do you know? Alien 3 is even more like that. She's like, guys, I really definitely know. And they're like, shut up, Ripley. And she's like, no, it's definitely fucking aliens. I swear that it's aliens. I promise you.
I think he goes back down to the Earth. He's got the flaming sword of God, and he needs to inhabit G.I. Jane's, like, ripped up body.
Okay, yeah, we fucking cross-promote this with G.I. Jane. That's good, yes.
To, like, take down, like, petty criminals.
Yeah, and, whoever the villain of
the demons of hell.
That's good. I'm into that. Yeah. Okay, I think
they can only do it in little spurts, you know, because this is set up in the movie that ghosts get tired when they're in someone else's body.
Yes. Yeah.
So they only have like an hour. It's like Crank.
Yeah.
You know?
He's got
an hour to go
hour.
Like stop a crime. Yeah.
To be in G.I. Jane, Demi Moore's G.I. Jane's body.
Jesus Christ.
Gosh, I like this.
I hope. Trademark.
Yeah, please.
Trademark 2022.
Yeah.
B Theory Productions.
Yeah, we did this one, and it's such a good idea.
Yeah.
And can we get Patrick Swayze for the part? That's the real question.
I mean, I think he's passed, but...
No, but exactly.
Then he's a ghost, right?
It's fucking perfect.
Yeah.
Is it
that
too
works.
Soon?
We'll get Whoopi back?
We'll get Whoopi back. We'll get Demi back.
Maybe Whoopi, like, drives the ghost tank or something, you know? Like, she's like... his cue. And she can kind of communicate with him when he's not in Demi Moore's body.
That's good. And just resting in his like Bacta fluid.
Yeah. She's like developed some kind of like Bacta tank where Demi Moore can see him.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we fucking ironed this out. What do you want to do next?
That's great.
We've got time for a couple more little segments or little moments.
Well, it is a romance podcast, and we haven't talked about romance a lot yet. We have talked about the like gunplay, and some of the the more crimier
and
bits,
the pottery stuff.
I think we should probably invite a couple of guests in, and excuse ourselves. So, mm-hmm. sex bugs, bed pots. We will be back in a moment. We're just going to kind of let our
good friends
guests in here. I'm going to walk away now.
Okay.
Oh, hello. Oh, hello. Do you want to go do the podcast for a little while? I would love to.
Me too.
Okay.
Oh, hey, horny tenor.
Hey, horny Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're the two lewd dudes, and we're here to sex up this sexless film.
We're going
to
sex up this sexless film. There's a good pottery scene, but it's not enough.
No.
And we're used to a lot more sex in our romances, and so we're going to try to do
that. Let me set the scene here. This is an actual scene from the film.
Yeah.
And then it's abruptly ended, but I'm going to put on, I'm Sexy Tanner studio exec. I'm putting on my studio exec hat here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting at the Steambeck, and I'm looking at the dailies coming off the editing machine.
Okay.
And I'm getting to the end of this scene where Carl breaks in and starts causing chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, not yet. Let's see this through. This scene here that I'm about to describe, let's see it through.
Yeah.
Oda Mae reaches out and tenderly takes Molly's hands in her own.
That's Whoopi.
Oda Mae is being possessed by Sam Wheat, but we don't see it in this version.
Mm-hmm.
In the real film, it sort of cuts and like Whoopi Goldberg is gone and it's Patrick Swayze now.
Yeah.
But in this one, it's just going to be Whoopi Goldberg.
So we just see Whoopi. We know it's Sam possessing her, but we see
Whoopi.
We
know it's Sam. Yeah. But we see Whoopi.
Yeah.
She raises her hand and caresses Molly's cheek.
Yeah.
Molly nestles into
that's
the touch.
That's Demi.
Yeah. Oda Mae's hand slides across Molly's cheek and her thumb brushes up against her lip sensually.
Mm-hmm.
They stand and embrace as the jukebox plays Unchained Melody.
Again. Yeah, we've
seen. They start to do something like dancing and hugging and collapsing into one another at the same time.
Okay.
And then bang, Craig, what's his face, comes in and starts firing off his gun.
Let the bodies hit the floor.
And that's where I'm like, no.
No. Let's give it another 5 minutes.
Let's give it another 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I want to see where this goes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're at.
Well, can I throw something out there?
Yeah, please.
Reverse 69.
Okay. And you're going to have to remind me.
It's the sexiest, dirtiest thing you can do.
Right.
In sex.
Right. And how do you do it? It's where you rub your butt against someone's head?
69
while
the other
they're
way
rubbing
around.
Their head against your butt?
Yeah.
Like the back of their head?
I don't want to get into it, but it's 69 but the other way around.
See, but that means
it's
that
one
could
more
mean
turn.
Two things.
It's
because
one more
like
turn.
But that's just kissing and like touching genitals together. One dippy?
If I have to explain it to you, man.
I think there's a possibility that somehow Patrick Swayze gets, it's like a threesome, you know?
Oh, Patrick's.
Where it's like Molly and Oda Mae, Demi Moore and Whoopi are getting into this so much that Patrick Swayze actually like sort of excuses
pops
himself
out.
From Whoopi's body.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and then he like heads over to the couch and it's just like.
And then he has to do his like, because he can like only very occasionally affect the corporeal world. So he's like sitting in a sofa like trying to flick pennies at them.
sexually
but that's
just all
he can do or like,
you know?
Knocking a lamp over.
yeah oh, that's, he's like, I'll make the mood in here a little nicer, and he just knocks a lamp over.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
I like that.
And then I think he just watches them make love.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's beautiful. Yeah.
And he probably.
And why didn't you have the courage
gets himself
to do that
off
in the movie?
Yeah.
Probably.
Robert Zemeckis, who or whoever directed this.
I can tell you it was actually Jerry Zucker, famously.
Jerry Zucker.
Yeah.
What else has he done?
A bunch of stuff. But let me,
it's sexy?
I've got a little tag for our two lewd dudes.
Okay.
It's a different scene. It's early on, so they have two things that like ultimately tip off Demi Moore that it must be Patrick Swayze communicating through a medium and not a fake medium. And the first is that he never says "I love you." He just waits for someone else to say "I love you," and then he says "ditto."
Yeah, cool.
And the second is he like, whenever he finds a penny, he gives it to her and he says it's for luck.
Yeah.
And so they've tried the ditto thing a couple times, and Demi Moore is still skeptical. But then the scene that really convinces her, when it's like She needs to be convinced because the bad guy's on his way, and she needs to really believe that the ghost is talking through Whoopi. And so Sam says,
push a penny under the door now.
And Whoopi is like, okay, whatever, and pushes a penny under the door of her apartment. And he says, tell her it's for luck.
Tell her it's for luck.
And Whoopi says,
Sam says it's for luck.
And then, like, the penny, like, rises up spectrally. And yeah, she's like, okay, this is like something Sam used to say, and it's fucking the spectral thing happening, and she believes it. Here's my note.
You're going to plus it up.
I'm going to plus it up. What if, instead of a penny, it's a condom?
Whoa.
And Sam says, tell her it's for fuck.
Yikes. Whoa. That's probably what it was originally when they, like, focus tested it, and everyone's like, did he say that's for fuck?
That's sexy.
What if he just rolls in pennies, and then he's like, Penny Man, you know?
Okay, yeah.
And then he can just, like, have sex with her as Penny Man.
That's good, too. Yeah, and that's got sequel possibilities.
Yeah. You can do Nickel Man.
Yeah. This has been Two Lewd Dudes.
Yeah, we'll excuse ourselves. Thank you for having us again. We love you.
We do love you. Should we do some burns?
Sure.
We like to say burns in the book, and when there was a good burn, and this was a fairly burn light book, but I captured
burns.
One.
Yeah, which was yours?
There's a very funny scene when Whoopi realizes that she's not actually a fake medium; she's a real medium, and then, like, all the ghosts in town want
yeah,
to
like
speak,
find her
and want to speak to their loved ones through her. And there's a scene where, like, Patrick Swayze is desperately trying to talk to Whoopi to get her to help him, and she's like get in line.
Yeah.
And this woman who's currently trying to work with her is named Orticia, and she is trying to communicate with her husband,
who's passed.
Orlando, who has passed. And Orlando, like, this is how we learn that Whoopi could be inhabited by ghosts. Orlando, like, jumps into Whoopi's body.
Like, it's like he's going down, like, a, what do you call those slides in the
flume.
Summer? Yeah, like he's going down a water slide.
Yeah.
He just, like, leaps into her.
Yeah, he leaps into her, and then all of a sudden Whoopi looks around and she goes,
Patricia, where you at? I can't hardly see.
And then the loving wife says,
Orlando, is that you?
And then he says,
damn, baby, what you do to your hair?
Yeah,
that's funny. Very 90s. Yeah.
And then that's the exposition where we learn that ghosts get tired after they've been inside of Whoopi.
Yeah, exactly.
Mine was a similar Whoopi scene. They're all Whoopi scenes. They're the funny ones.
Whoopi fucking crushes this movie, man. She does such a good job. She's so funny.
Although at the beginning when they're trying to get the big angel into the loft, Demi Moore comes up behind these, like, big burly movers and she says,
where are you guys from? The New York City Ballet?
That's funny.
That is funny. But at one point, Whoopi is down on the street, on Prince Street.
Yeah.
Right around the corner from where Jack and I used to work.
Yeah.
Yelling up into Demi Moore's apartment, trying to get her attention, because Demi Moore still doesn't believe that Patrick Swayze is with her.
Yeah.
So she's shouting all this stuff that only Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore would know.
Yeah.
It just asked me to remind you of the sweater that's in the closet that you knitted is too big.
And then she just keeps getting ignored. And at one point she yells up,
I'm not going to stay down here all day.
And then Demi Moore's downstairs neighbor, who also has his window open, yells out,
thank God.
It's a very, like, 90s New York.
Yeah, it is a very 90s New York. I'm walking here.
There's a lot of I'm walking here going on,
yeah.
Which is fine if you're a ghost because they just walk right through you. And that's a thing also that we should check against other movies that we think might be in the ghost-averse, is that, like, it's annoying and painful to be walked through.
As a ghost, right?
As a ghost.
Well, and they do this thing. It must have been, like, cutting edge. It must have, like, blown people's little
minds. No, the special effects are pretty wild. Yeah.
Where while Patrick Swayze is trying to, like, explore his ghost body and his ghost powers, that they show us what it looks like to, like, see through someone's, like, head and to see through the, like, fibers of a door as you pass through it.
Very cool.
It's pretty fucked up.
It's pretty fucked up. And the shadow monsters are pretty fucked up too.
Yes, very scary.
And that's all the time we have for today.
Okay. Yeah. I guess this is where the heavens open and
yeah.
the light shines down.
We look into the light.
We can kind of see one another for the first time and
yeah.
we turn and we just walk away.
We walk away. We go into the light. I'd like to thank you, Tanner, very much for bearing with me this week.
You're welcome.
I'd like to thank the Sex Bugs and the Bedpots and the Baby Nation for bearing with us. We do love and kiss you so very much. I'd like to remind you that you can and indeed must subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/BSCC podcast. We have another fucking podcast over there. We're talking about TGIF shows. It's tons of fun. It's crazy. It's crazy not to be signed up for that. It's just $5 a month, and we
you would
have
be
such a good time.
You're really doing yourself a disservice, yeah. and us a disservice, frankly,
yeah,
by not signing up for it.
Yeah. Patreon.com/BSCC podcast. Join the fun. Everyone's nice and having a good time in there. Please check out our Facebook group. It's Baby Nation on Facebook. Everyone is good and nice in there, and we love it, and we have discussion threads, and we all get along so well, and there's gift exchanges, and everyone is so lovely. You must yeah. sign up. Baby Nation on Facebook. Rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Mm-hmm. And tell a friend about the show. Why not? Hey, let's get some new listeners.
Yeah, we're starting to post little audiograms on yeah. our Twitter. So that's an easy thing to share with someone to get them into the show. So go check that out.
Twitter.com/BSCC podcast.
Which we won't explain. I refuse to explain.
Yeah. All that remains is for me to say that this week we did read a novel. That novel was, of course, Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore in Ghost. Directed yes. by Jerry Zucker, and it was a movie, not a book.
Yes. It was the movie version of it.
Next week, we are going to be reading a book, and the book that we are going to be reading is Bridgerton, and I know what you're saying. Oh, what? It's a movie, and it's not a movie, and that's
not
actually
a
TV show.
It's actually a TV miniseries.
Yeah, right? But what we're reading is a book, and it's...
And we're not even reading the first one, idiots.
Is it the book that started it all? No, it's the second one. Because I went on a thing that said the best Bridgerton is the second one, and I don't know. I haven't seen it.
That's a peek behind the curtain.
I haven't read it.
That's how the great and mighty Oz does his research.
On Oprah Winfrey's content site said that the best Bridgerton is the second Bridgerton, and it's a little book called The Viscount. Do you say Viscount or Viscount? I say Viscount.
I would say Viscount.
The Viscount Who Loved Me by Julia Quinn. So look forward to that. That's what we're reading next week, and it's Bridgerton.
Yes.
And I think it's Bridgerton season 2, but it's the book. We're going to be reading it with our eyes.
Yeah, we're reading it with our eyes.
All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been a swoon daddy.
My name is Tanner.
Okay. You're not...
Oh, I thought that you were just saying that that's sort of your moniker now.
That's fine.
And I'm Tanner.
Yeah. From one swoon daddy to another, it's kissing time. We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy kids will work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows. What do you think, outro?
I think let's keep working on it.
Okay, but yeah, we don't have an outro.
I think we're at the trailhead, you know, we just got to go down that trail a little bit further.